Life without parole used to be the automatic sentence for juveniles who were tried as adults and convicted of first-degree murder. Well, that was until 2012, when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that automatic life without parole for juveniles was unconstitutional. But a question remains. What should happen to the more than 350 juvenile lifers here in Michigan who were sent to prison before this decision? The Michigan Supreme Court heard arguments on that question today, and Lansing Bureau Chief of the Michigan Public Radio Network, Rick Pluta, was in the courtroom. Hey, Rick.
Hi, Cindy.
So let's go back a bit. Take us back to that 2012 U.S. Supreme Court decision and tell us exactly what it said.
Well, the decision was Miller versus Alabama, and what the United States Supreme Court said was that adult time for adult crime laws like Michigan's that have mandatory sentences didn't take into account the fact that teenagers are not mini adults, that they have different ways of thinking, of processing things, they're motivated differently. And at least at the sentencing stage, that once the decision had been made to try them as adults, they still have to be sentenced with an eye toward the fact that they are juveniles with hearings that take into account their life circumstances, you know, whether they were raised in situations of abuse and neglect, for example, and also how culpable they were in the crime. And in the case of Michigan, first-degree murder.
So this raises this big question, and that is, should the 350-some juvenile lifers in Michigan be resentenced? Basically, should this Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court decision be applied retroactively?
Exactly. And in current cases going forward, that juveniles who are convicted of first-degree murder will get these hearings. And we have had, since the Miller decision, almost two dozen juveniles, 23, who have actually been sentenced to life without parole with a hearing. But the question is this a decision that needs to be applied retroactively to cases that, you know, some of them go back to the early 1960s, and do those juvenile lifers get resentenced? And that's what the three cases that were before the Michigan Supreme Court today were all about.
So what did we hear in court? Let's start with the state. What are they arguing?
The state says that the Miller decision, the U.S. Supreme Court decision, is not applied retroactively because it's basically a process decision, that juvenile lifers currently serving weren't denied a fair trial, that their guilt or innocence is not in question. I should say their guilt is not in question. What they were denied, so to speak, was something that was procedural. And the Supreme Court did not say that juveniles cannot be sentenced to life without parole. It just said, if you're going to do it, here's how you have to go about it. And that's why the state is arguing that this is a process decision, that there will still be juveniles sentenced to life without parole. And so, therefore, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to go back and apply all of these decisions retroactively, induct that level of instability into the system, deny the finality to the survivors of murder victims that they thought had been guaranteed by the state. And so that's basically the state's position on this question of retroactivity.
And then what about those representing these juvenile lifers? What did we hear from them?
They say that this is a substantive decision, a watershed decision, one that actually should alter how sentences are handled in the state of Michigan, that this was, if this was a violation of the Eighth Amendment going forward, then it's a violation of the Eighth Amendment for the 350-plus juvenile lifers who are currently serving, and they deserve to be resentenced, and some of them at least be handed an opportunity at parole one day.
And what kind of questions did the justices serve up?
They were very, very focused on this question of whether it's a process question, whether this was a process decision or a substantive decision. And as you know, can tell even from our conversation that it's a very nuanced conversation. There are a lot of fine lines that need to be drawn. And so really they return to that time and time again with the whole plethora of attorneys who appeared before them in these three cases saying, explain to me what you think a process decision is versus a substantive legal ruling by the court. And that certainly seems to be a lot of what this case is going to turn on. I should point out that there were a couple of other questions that the court was addressing as well. One is the issue of whether or not aiders and abettors should ever even be subject to the possibility of life without parole, that if you did not actually pull the trigger, wield the weapon, that you would only face at a maximum parolable life. And what the prosecutor's side argued on that is, in Michigan, we don't make that distinction. If you participated in a murder, even in sort of an ancillary fashion, you are considered every bit as culpable as the person who actually physically committed the murder. And the side arguing for defendants said, but in the case of juveniles, we should make a distinction. So that was one of the questions. And also the state appellate defender's office also suggested that there should be some kind of a cutoff, maybe the age of 14, maybe the age of 15, a point at which a juvenile would never be subject to life without parole.
Are we seeing other states around the union dealing with this question, Rick, since this since the U.S. Supreme Court decision came down?
Oh, sure. The Miller decision affected sentencing in at least 29 states that we know of, but each state gets to decide individually how they're going to do it as long as they stay within the parameters set by the Supreme Court. So we've seen some states that have simply abolished life without parole for juveniles. In other cases, California, for example, allows inmates sentenced to life without parole as juveniles to petition for a sentence review. Mississippi, courts there have ruled that the decision is retroactive. In Minnesota, courts have ruled that it's not retroactive. So there's really no uniform way of dealing with this. And we've seen that the federal correction system has taken the position that the Miller decision regarding life without parole sentences is retroactive. And so federal inmates sentenced to life without parole as juveniles get a hearing.
Rick, as you've covered this story and leading up to today's session before the state Supreme Court, the victim side is something that has to be considered here. And you spoke with a woman whose brother was murdered by a 16-year-old and a 19-year-old. What did she have to say to you about all of this?
Jody Robinson, I spoke with her and her father, and quite simply, they feel betrayed that this is even a question. They thought that they had finality, that they'd closed the door on this, that the next step in the healing process was going to be resuming thinking about their son and brother in terms of the way he lived his life as opposed to the way that it was ended. And every time this question comes up again, then they return to the fact that he was murdered, and now they're very concerned that they're going to be, reliving this periodically with a notice in the mail that a parole hearing is going to be held.
So, Rick, if the court rules that these juvenile lifers do indeed deserve to be resentenced, do we have any idea how exactly that would work?
How exactly it would work? No. Obviously, the state corrections department is aware that it's a possibility, but it would depend on what the state Supreme Court rules in this case, of course. And we should point out there's also sort of a parallel federal case. It's in the Detroit U.S. District Court. And it was originally a challenge to the juvenile lifer law, a lot like the Miller challenge. And once that decision came down, Judge O'Meara in that case basically turned it into a case about monitoring whether or not Michigan is actually complying with the ruling. And Judge O'Meara ruled back in November that Michigan's unparolable juvenile lifers are all now eligible for parole, that they will get parole hearings. That decision was appealed by the state attorney general, and it's been stayed while it's before the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. So there's a wide range of possibilities in terms of how juvenile lifers would get resentenced should that actually be what the Supreme Court orders.
So any idea when we would get a ruling from the High Court?
Well, controversial issues like this can hang out till the end of the term. As you can imagine, they're complex. There's a lot to talk about. There will be a straw vote among the justices, and one of the justices in the majority on that vote will be assigned the task of writing an opinion. That'll be circulated. Justices will respond to it, give their feedback, and they'll try and craft something. There's no deadline for when it has to happen except before the end of the Supreme Court session later on this summer.
Lansing Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network, Rick Pluta. Thanks so much, Rick.
My pleasure, Cindy.